Hey, got the morning show with there, and that was Rita May, new New Zealand music, Kiss the Sky. And in the studio, I've got Sam, also known as Musketeer, who's going to be performing at Live and Local this Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So now I understand this is your first gig as Musketeer. You've been in here before as part of Team Squad, and you probably have a musical background stretching way back, which we might delve into in a moment. But
yeah.
But what are you doing on Friday night, tomorrow night?
Yeah, so tomorrow night I am, I guess, debuting my my solo loop pedal show.
Yes.
Which is, yeah, I guess a project I've had, I've been working on, but only in the background over the last sort of 6-7 years.
Okay.
And every time I found myself in another band, that would fall away. So, I was in here maybe a year ago. It's part of Team Squad, which is a local band that many of your listeners will know. Mm. I'm no longer a part of that band. And, yeah, I've been directing my musical energies sort of back towards this solo project, which I never really brought to fruition. So tomorrow is kind of like a bit of a highlight for me in realizing something I've been working on for quite a while.
Okay, and can you describe to me how you described it just before off the air as the stage of life?
Oh, yeah. Well, so, yeah, performing the show is also it's part of my pre-40 panic, which is...
I haven't heard that phrase before, but I like it.
Yeah, I came up with this little list. I'm now post-40, so I missed that deadline.
Okay.
But only by a couple of months.
Oh, that's all right.
And, yeah, the energy of, like, setting that little pre-40 panic list of things I wanted to do.
Would you want to tell us what else is on the list?
Yeah, I mean, growing my hair long,
yeah,
like getting through that awkward stage, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is always when I'd stopped before.
Is it still kind of...
It's in a new awkward stage, yeah. No one told me that there was a second awkward stage. Still trying to work out how to do the medium-length hair thing.
Hats are good.
Yeah, hats are good. Beanies. It's beanie season, thankfully.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, also a tattoo. Got my first tattoo.
Oh, really?
End of last year. Yeah.
Were you kind of shy and sheltered when you were younger or anything? Or?
No, not really.
I didn't mean to go this deep so early in the interview. But.
Not really shy and sheltered, but I think like all the things that I knew I was into and passionate about, including music, you know, including electric guitar, I kind of always just assumed I had forever to make that happen.
And then
you get, you know, late 30s and 40. It's kind of like, oh, I actually don't have forever. I might already be halfway, you know?
Mm.
And I don't want to be debuting this stuff when I'm 60. Hopefully I've got some other stuff to debut at that point, but you know, like it just felt like it was dragging on a bit.
All right. So is it just you and a guitar? What's the story?
Yeah. So no, it's mainly me and electric guitar, but I'm also running a synthesizer into the loop pedal. So that's doing a lot of the bass line, do some little solos with that as well. And then, yeah, rhythm tracks are from the loop pedal at this stage. That's something I'd like to evolve, get some live drums in there.
Okay, with you as well?
Yeah.
The last time I was at Live and Local, Vicky Greedis was there, and she had drums, guitar, singing. She was trying to do it all by herself, so it's obviously possible. But the level of coordination required...
Yeah, definitely. I've been finding that out in rehearsals. It's all well and good, like creating that nice sound where you've got all the instruments looping nicely.
Yeah.
But to start from scratch and nail it first time, yeah, there's some definite challenges there.
I mean, I had friends who played guitar and they could strum and sing, but they couldn't do anything tricky and sing.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe they should have practiced more or something. I don't know.
Yeah, although I guess, yeah, like the one thing with the loop pedal is that you can lay down the tricky bits of the guitar.
Yeah.
And then they're playing by themselves and you can sing over the top. So you can do it as two different things.
But drumming is already, if you're going to add drums, drumming is already challenging anyway in the sense that all your limbs are doing something different.
Yeah. Yep, the challenge is part of it though, right? It's like feeling that part of your brain go, oh, that's a bit tricky. And then you find it. And you're like, wow, okay, it is possible.
Well, you're keeping your brain active as you get into older, into your latter years.
Yes, that's right.
Says the guy who's like 12 years older than you. So, folks, also I should mention at Live and Local, Dave Mabey's going to be there playing some of his originals, and the Blister Sisters doing some, what they're calling some new Kiwi covers. Maybe they learned some new songs.
Looks like a lot of ukuleles on the poster.
Many. It's a ukulele army.
Looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks
are you aware of the third wave of ukulele fanaticism that's sweeping the world at the moment?
Third wave?
This is what one of the ukulele people described it as to me. Yes.
Okay. Is this different from the one about 5 years ago? Or is this just the beginning of the third wave?
I don't know. That might be the beginning of the third wave.
Okay, yeah,
really, cool. I'm a bit out of my depth all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, they're teaching it in schools. They're doing all kinds of stuff.
They've always done that, but they had the ukulele festival here a few months ago, and people were coming from everywhere. It's a winner. You should add a ukulele to your selection.
Yeah, sure. Music. Challenge accepted.
Sounds like you're up for it at the moment. So you've been writing some of these songs. You've been writing. You've had them for a while, then, have you?
Is that what
this is partly about?
Yeah. I've been realizing. So I've been revisiting stuff that I had thought was fully written and complete.
Yeah.
Some of it 5 years ago. Some of it more like 7 years ago when I first started playing with the loop pedal. And then I've realized, I'm happy with that verse and that verse, but I'm not happy with that verse.
Okay.
So I've had to rewrite it as a completely different person, way removed from the circumstances when I first wrote the song.
So here's the thing. Should you be doing that? Might this person not actually be in the right vibe for that? And might you make I don't want to say you're going to make it worse or anything, but there's just an interesting thing there about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like layers of history, right? Like you're adding a new layer onto something that was theoretically finished. But I think where I come from, I mean, my instincts are just like, I'm going to have to sing these lyrics in front of people.
This
is what I'm presenting as a complete song.
Yeah.
So if I'm not happy with it now, then I need to fix it up.
I think there's a few rock stars around who've said that, and you know, they're in their lady, like, you know, got past 40 or even past 30 and would regret some of the lyrics that they wrote when they were in their early 20s, but then the songs became hits and that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
So you're not cursed.
That's a different level challenge to my one, thankfully.
You're not cursed with that level of fame.
That's right.
Would you like that level of fame for your music?
No, but interestingly, maybe not when I first started writing these songs, but when I first started playing electric guitar, that was always like the vision, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even just for a couple of years, wouldn't it be great to be in a globe touring rock band?
Yeah.
And now, settled here, couple of kids, I'm just like, well, one, I couldn't. But two, I don't know if that's my dream anymore, you know?
Mm.
Just like relentless touring, relentless moving around from city to city. Like, it's great to be playing music, but that's quite an intense lifestyle.
Yeah, if you're doing that, you want to be like seriously big where you can afford to take the family with you in a plush jet so that everyone feels, so you can relax, you know, and not be...
But even then, is that what you want to be doing with your family, you know? Like, it's quite nice just to go down to the beach, you know, in Raglan.
Yeah, true. Yeah, everyone comes here. We're already here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to give us a genre? Like, what are people, if they want to come, what are they going to hear?
Yeah. I wish I had like a really snappy answer for that. I would actually be interested in what other people tell me genre-wise tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's definitely rocky.
Yes.
So it's rock, guitar, lots of solos, but with some interesting, hopefully, with some interesting like... West African kind of rhythms. There's some polyrhythm stuff going on with both the guitar and the drums.
Okay.
It's not kind of straight rock.
Okay.
Hopefully it's more interesting than that.
Well, straight rock is kind of, it's a bit of a historical thing now, isn't it? Would you say that?
It sounds like that to me. Like I don't really get excited about the old rock songs because the drums are just too straight and everything's too lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some classics that are good songs, but no one's writing classics anymore.
Yeah.
There's no new, like, I had this line a few months ago on the radio referring to Foo Fighters as the last great rock band.
Wow.
And they're my age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But then I don't know if that's just because I'm my age. You know, like, I'm not getting excited about a band in their early 20s right now, necessarily.
I mean, there are rock bands out there. But it's like they don't capture the zeitgeist anymore.
Yeah,
you know, there's other things capturing the public mood.
Yeah,
I think.
And maybe
a little out of touch.
We're all just listening to what we want to listen to these
days.
That's
true,
as well, right? There's no, we're not all tuning into the radio and hearing the same song.
Yeah,
well, no offense. Tuning into this radio.
When I was a kid, there was one radio in my town. Right?
Exactly.
And now the whole world comes to you.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And Spotify is delivering you. Well, actually, increasingly AI songs, but that's a whole other story.
Wow, okay.
Well, because they don't have to pay copyright on songs that they got an AI to make.
I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, there's a few music journalists reporting on this at the moment.
Are they tweaks of existing songs?
Nobody really knows, but you can just tell an AI. I mean, probably as you know, you can tell an AI write a song that's in a rock style with a solo in the middle and some lyrics about going to the beach.
Yeah,
and it would deliver you some horrendously generic lyrics, and then you have to tweak it. But so that's just an example.
Yeah,
yeah, and they've found. What they found is a lot of artists' names that you can't trace it back to a person. There might be an album cover, or there might be a kind of a very basic website, but they can't follow it up with anything else.
Right.
And it makes sense to Spotify's business model that if they create their songs themselves with AI,
yeah,
then they don't have to pay copyright. But it also makes sense for someone else who's really good at making songs with AI that just floods Spotify with all these songs and they might make a bit of cash.
So is it kind of happening secretively? Like it's not.
Well, it's not like they're announcing it, is it?
They're not.
Well, we've got 100,000 new AI songs this week, but
Wow,
yeah.
That's terrifying. So I'm already defunct, I'm only about to perform tomorrow night.
You're a real person, and I think people are wanting real more and more. You know, like
Live and Local's doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, since it started, it was originally a project to. Get a bit of money into the local musicians after COVID, and it kept going because people were liking it. So
yeah,
and it's a good, and it's probably like for your situation where you haven't, you're kind of debuting this material and your act as Musketeer, it's probably quite an ideal thing. It's like half an hour or so.
Yeah,
the pressure's not that much pressure.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah,
seated audience.
Well,
they're there for the music.
They're well behaved.
Sort of, yeah,
and they're very supportive too. So
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was part of my thinking. It was like, this is a great place to start. Also, I'm playing first up, so my kids can come along.
Oh, yeah.
And then
there's a thing.
Yeah.
How old are the kids?
They're 8 and 6.
Okay, so they're not at the age where they're going to heap scorn on your music yet.
No. They're all about it. They'll probably be dancing up the front and get dragged out to go to bed.
But that's good, though, right? That's the vibe you want. And
yeah, totally. I'll take that.
You're bringing your own audience. So, do you think you're going to learn something about the music from doing this?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to learn something about the songs themselves and about the intricacies of performing them, like the whole loop pedal setup.
Yeah.
And then I'm really keen to hear what, you know, the audience has to say about them. The songs, I think, are like quite cohesive, like they make sense together. They're similar vibes. Maybe someone can tell me what genre I am by the end of it.
Well, the musician doesn't need to know what genre they're in, but
we're just drinking from the source, you know.
Oh wow, yeah, very good. It's a good line.
No.
Yeah, that's going to be the album name.
could be.
Yeah. So you talked about being younger and playing guitar. Like when did all this start for you? How long ago was that?
That was as a teenager.
Yeah.
I was the 13th guitarist in my school band.
Does that mean there were 13 guitarists, or you were the
same? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, as in, like, we all wanted to learn guitar. The music teachers desperately wanted to add, like, a trumpet or something, which would have been great to learn.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, ooh, trumpet's a pretty damn cool instrument. But I insisted on being the 13th guitarist instead.
Yes.
And, electric guitar for me started by printing out the tabs of Pennywise's Full Circle and Offspring's Ixnay albums, Blink-182's Dude Ranch albums, and just sitting on my amp and learning to play.
Now, I'm interested in this because I and a lot of other people like sort of tried a little bit of music when we were around those years, but it just seemed like too much effort.
Right.
Obviously, it didn't to you. Did you have to wait long for something to sound like you were getting somewhere? Do you remember?
I actually remember telling my dad after having printed out, you know, what are they called? The A4 piece of paper, like half of an office pad.
Oh, yes. Yep.
For these tabs. I remember telling dad excitedly, "Dad, it's all the one chord shape." And him saying, "Yeah, that doesn't surprise me."
So he was heaping scorn.
Yeah, he was there right from the start to keep me in my place. But with guitar at least, you can, with just a couple of shapes, you can do so many different songs.
Right.
So And I think it was because I was into that kind of music at the time. Like maybe if I was into poppier stuff or more technical stuff, it would have been out of reach.
So this
but
is
I kind of grew into that.
Right, so this is when grunge had come through and there was a bit more of a punk influence.
Yeah, this is like late 90s, yeah. early 2000s. So it's so more Californian punk scene.
Yeah, that was still around then. So yeah.
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 But yeah, no, I've always found guitar and just music really important, including, you know, in times when I was having a rough time as a teenager and as someone in my 20s. I can remember a few sort of moments where it was just like, wow, I'm so grateful I've got this guitar that I can just sit and strum and kind of lose myself a little bit from the stuff that was causing me troubles.
Are there songs from that era?
Yeah, actually, a lot of them are instrumental, though. They're kind of just things that I was playing over and over, you know, new chords that I'd sort of found that were not part of my training or, you know, that the, it turns out they're pretty standard jazz chords, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'd found a couple of them, and yeah, there's a couple of things that I, would literally just kind of play on a loop. In moments where I didn't have anything that I wanted to do.
See, now there would be your cell phone to distract you.
Absolutely.
I do wonder about that, eh?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. The level of distraction that causes, and it's quite a powerful distraction.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, and even me now, you know, I would use a cell phone rather than sitting down with my guitar. It's something that in preparing for this gig, I've had to like consciously put other things aside and go back and back and back to the guitar in my moments of downtime. But it feels a bit forced because, like you say, it's so much easier to pick up a phone and go chase something that you're interested in.
I wonder if that's having an effect on like young bands and young musicians coming through. Apparently kids are being a rock star or a musician or a rapper is like less of an aspiration these days.
Right.
For this generation. Admittedly, being a YouTuber is more of an aspiration.
And I guess the flip side of that coin is that they can do that from their bedrooms, you know? They can be a sensation.
Yeah, and some of them are.
Yeah, and some of them are.
And you don't know who that's going to be. You might know someone out there who's doing quite well on YouTube in their bedroom and you're not quite aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question for the youngsters today.
Yeah, not for us, eh?
Yeah, the ones growing up with phones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So did you, like, so were you in different bands and things, like, through your 20s and stuff like that?
Actually, I had a bit of a dry spell band-wise in my 20s. Sort of found a few collaborators, but, again, bit of a story of my musical life, like, never fully brought things to fruition, recorded, performed, you know, put those kind of notches in.
Yeah.
Which I'm now at 40.
You're doing that.
Now it's like, come on. You know, these songs that I wrote when I was 20 that I still think are okay, I either use them or they're just lost forever because at the moment they're in my head and nowhere else. I feel like I've got, and this preparing for this gig is part of this, but kind of a renewed motivation to like, lay down some stuff in a way that is revisitable later. So recording it properly or performing it and, you know, sharing it with people while I still can.
You're only 40. It's all right, Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
I had lots of friends at university who were in bands and playing guitar and things like that, and none of them, when university ended and the pressure was on to be serious about life, maybe they succumbed to the pressure, maybe they made sensible choices, I'm not sure.
Yeah. It is. So friends of mine are sort of serious musicians. I mean, Team Squad as one example, but other friends as well are playing that whole game at the moment where they are kind of having to relentlessly promo their own stuff. They have to be active on all the social media channels. They have to be booking gigs.
Yeah.
And like, it's a huge commitment. Like, you can't just kind of half-heartedly do it. You're either doing it or you're not doing it enough. And therefore, you're not going to get the funding for your, you know, music videos or your recording. And so, yeah, there's only kind of two ways you can approach it. And the easy way is to not do it that seriously. But that doesn't get you where you want to be.
if you enjoy social media, I think that's essential in a lot of ways. It must, because it's hard to do. But then even like I was interviewed Reiki Ruawai a few weeks ago and asked him about that. And it was on his mind about, you know, do I create a song that works on TikTok?
Right.
You know, do I actually want to go down that road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is that? Is that like a 15? Because I'm old.
15, 30 seconds. It has to work in 15 seconds. It can go longer, but I think it has to work immediately.
Yeah.
It has to catch immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there has to be a video to go with it that's also captivating.
Yeah. Well, I guess most young people are used to putting themselves, you know, up on video. So.
Yeah.
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 That is a thing. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. We're talking to Sam, who is Musketeer, debuting his character. Are you a character? Do you inhabit a different character when you get
I haven't decided that I will.
Okay, all right.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, well, that's not what you normally do. It's just you
playing
music. Okay, so it's a new kind of an act with some new music, new but old music, brought to the stage for the first time. And first on the stage, doors open at 7, starts at 7:30. Also featuring Dave Mabey with some of his original music, and the Blister Sisters with the Ukulele Army will be there as well. And they are usually a lot of fun, actually. I was quite surprised how much I enjoyed it the first time I saw them.
Yeah, so, sounds great.
Yeah, if your kids will let you stay, you can stay and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Sam, thank you.
Thanks.